Mike Silver covers the National Football League for Yahoo Sports, and he's kind enough to join us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline. Mike, first, let's talk about the Browns, your thoughts and perspective on all the changes that have happened here since the end of last season and your feelings about what this team might shape up like in 2013.
Well, what's really changed with the Browns since last season? Everything. it's exciting that there's a new regime, I think, for people in Cleveland, but I feel for the great fans, the great Browns fans who are so desperately looking for signs of a positive direction, seem to have them with Jimmy Haslam coming in, and now, of course, are wondering how fragile that regime may be with his outside issues. So there's that. There's Joe Banner, who seems to be actively playing out his playground angst with Jeffrey Lurie. They're old friends, and there's clearly a rivalry there, so that's interesting to be. Obviously, you've got Michael Lombardi back in the league as a GM, which I know a lot of fans weren't thrilled with that hire. They tried to sort of sneak it in after the fact and throw the title in there gratuitously, maybe, because Banner's clearly running things in the front office. But then you've got Rob Chudzinski, who's a really intriguing guy, did such great work 2 years ago with Cam Newton, now getting his shot as an NFL head coach, and Norv Turner, who we all know is an A-plus coordinator and quarterback groomer. So all very interesting. They did not go out and get that young quarterback that would displace Brandon Whedon. So, they're still Whedon. Got Jason Campbell there. And now Josh Gordon is suspended for two games. So not much going on, but, it should be a really, really interesting 2013 for the Browns.
Yeah, you covered a lot in a couple of minutes there. But, Mike, let's start with the leadership at the top, because it is a different direction for this team for sure to have the methods and ways that worked very well for the most part in Philadelphia where Joe Banner was. And then you bring in the influences of Rob Chudzinski, as you point out, had success as a coordinator in different places, here included, back in 07, but most recently Carolina, and Norv Turner's influence, 14 years as a head coach as well. How important do you see those elements to shaping this team? And maybe it doesn't all, it doesn't happen in 2013, but it happens eventually.
Well, if I'm Brandon Whedon, I'm in heaven right now, assuming I, in fact, get to play this out. But, look at what, for example, Alex Smith experienced when he had Norv Turner in year two. Had a really choppy year one, and then Norv really found a way to take a young quarterback who was limited at that time and put him in position to do what he could do well, minimize the things that he didn't do as well, and really attack teams, in a way that they probably didn't expect. So Norv leaving unexpectedly, after the Chargers job opened, I think really set Alex back. And, he'd probably tell you that if Norv had stayed, they could have, he could have developed into a prominent passer a lot earlier. So I think when you look at Whedon's, physical skills and, to me, he's got the right kind of temperament to make this work. I think, having Norv there could be a godsend. And the great thing about Norv is he's not sitting there angling, trying to be a head coach again and, being political about it. I mean, right. If it happens, it happens. But I think Norv is at peace with what he's done in his career, and he's just going to go out there no nonsense and try to, gain yards and score touchdowns. And obviously, he and Chud worked together very well. Chud was understandably very, very hot coming off Newton's rookie season. Then it just started so poorly last year that, there was almost a backlash against him. And then if you really look at what they did the second half of last season, they really settled down and did some pretty good work together. So, I've heard him described as a mad scientist. I think, as an offensive driving force in conjunction with Norv is going to be great. What we don't know is how he's going to be as a head coach, and you never really know. So that'll be fun to watch.
The other thing that's going to be interesting to watch is Trent Richardson in year two. So much made about the fact that he didn't crack the 1,000-yard barrier last year. He did miss a game, dealt with the recovery from arthroscopic knee surgery preseason, had rib issues throughout the year. Really, the story about him just became physical ailments, and unfortunately, that hasn't stopped because it was still talked about during this offseason because he missed a couple of weeks of offseason workouts dealing with a shin issue. So, by and large, I think that is overshadowing what should be a story about a very talented player.
Yeah, and some guys just run real hard, and I think this can happen in the NFL. I don't know if he's just experiencing a run of bad luck. Remember, coming out, everybody said Adrian Peterson was injury prone, and he even rebounds from torn ACLs in near record-setting fashion. So, it may just be a bad run. But like, I think of a guy like Cadillac Williams, for example, such a an intriguing runner at Auburn, and just looked like he'd be NFL ready. And the first time I saw him run in Tampa, I just said, "Wow, this guy hits the hole so hard, and is so clearly an NFL running back, and it's going to be awesome to watch." Well, he also ran so hard that he took a lot of hits, and ultimately, that wear and tear, shortened his career, and turned him into a guy that, probably shouldn't have been drafted that high given his lack of longevity. So, I hope that's not the way it's going to play out for Trent Richardson. And, I think some backs who run that way and run into contact do adapt, and they pick their spots, and there are times where they'll just go down and live to fight another day, and then there are times where I'll do anything to get those 6 yards and get that first down. So, it may be an evolution too. But, Doug Martin came in and looked really, really good in Tampa. Obviously, the three quarterbacks were transcendent. Alfred Morris was very, very productive playing with RG3. So I think Trent, has to sort of step it up to get to that level.
Mike Silver covers the NFL for YahooSports.com, and he is joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Mike, to take a more national view of things, very recently you wrote a column, and this is kind of a follow-up column, actually. The fact that Tim Tebow was signed by the Patriots was a follow-up to.
Thanks for reminding me.
Oh, no problem. I thought you'd love to be reminded of this. I actually think this is kind of fun, and knowing you as I do, I think this is your reaction is just that. It's more fun than anything else. But you basically had Bill Belichick, a source that you had very close to him in the Patriot organization, talking down on, negatively about Tebow. And then he turns around, whatever it is, a week or so later, and signs the guy, or the Patriots sign the guy. Maybe you're responsible. Maybe you forced him into making this move.
Yeah, as egotistical as I am, I can only dream to have that kind of power. And if it's ever proven that somehow this is just a move to spite me, then I want a cut of Tim Tebow's signing.
That's right.
I earned it. But more likely, first of all, what's more fun than being dead wrong in public? It's awesome. But, look, I do believe that Bill Belichick said to many people in the building that he is not a fan of Tebow as a player. I think as a person, we all certainly, like Tebow. But as a player, I think Belichick has not been a fan of him. But, probably to his credit, he, A, is open-minded enough to maybe reconsider. And, B, I'm sure there's an element, and I know Browns fans will be shocked by this, but I'm sure there's an element of Belichick that is thinking, I'm smarter than everybody else. I'll find a way to make Tim Tebow into an impact player, whether it's tight end, running back, somehow, and I'm just going to do this to show everyone that I'm the smartest guy in the world, which, we all know he's pretty smart, but I know Browns fans are shocked that I was depicted that way. But, so I don't know. I'm very surprised. I know that my source is also very surprised, but it's one of those bizarre things that, we may never know the real answer, but on a, most of all, I'm happy that Tim Tebow has a job, because if you think, and the original column I wrote back in May, that's what really the real point of it was. We've seen so many guys who had early success wash out. That happens in the NFL all the time. But in every case that I can think of, either they played themselves out of the league by performing poorly after the, you know, after their initial success, and or acted like knuckleheads off the field and lost their opportunity that way. In this case, Tim Tebow has done neither. He led them to an epic victory over the Steelers in the playoffs when he was in Denver. He was very productive, the number one defense in the league. You know, lost the next week to the Patriots, but really hasn't played since. So the notion that his career would just be over after that hasn't sat well with me. And I, you know, most of all, I'm glad that he has a chance now to extend his career.
Another Patriot-related item that you wrote about, and I thought was very fascinating. You sat down with Wes Welker out in Denver, and, of course, the former Patriot wide receiver. And basically the point of the conversation with Welker was how he likes the fact that he can be more himself with the Broncos than in the button-down world of New England, where players aren't free to really speak their mind, and Welker was punished for that. So just to talk a little bit about Wes's transition and, in general, how you see that playing out in Denver with Peyton Manning and Welker.
Well, you know, you and I know so many guys who we could tell you behind the scenes we at least suspect or know they're funny, they're edgy, they've got something to say, but when they're in certain organizations, that does not come out. And Wes has always been a guy that I think in NFL circles is regarded as one of those guys that I've always felt like, wow, I wish I could really have a few beers with this guy and you know, let him let his hair down, because he'd be funny, he'd have a lot to say, and I think people would really like him. Now that he's in Denver, I think we're going to start to see that. And it's baby steps, you know. He said a few things in this column. He sort of admitted that he would use feeling slighted by Belichick and the Patriots as motivation, and that he and Tom Brady were both upset by the way that situation played out in free agency. But I still don't think we're seeing anything close to the true Wes Welker personality. And I hope he has a big year in Denver. I sort of suspect that he will. And I hope that he continues to feel more comfortable and share that with America, because he's not just a really, really talented player. He's kind of an interesting guy.
Yeah, definitely. So are you, Mike, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, anytime, Vic. Anytime I could come on and talk about how wrong I was, you know, you're the first one I'm going to call. But no, seriously, it's great talking to you as always. You are one of the masters of the game, and I'm just trying to stay afloat in that world.
Okay, yeah, okay. He is Mike Silver from YahooSports.com. Check out his great work there. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline, and we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.